First of all, since yesterday was the feast of Saints Anne and Joachim, the parents of Mary, this is the day of this and tomorrow are the day of prayer for grandparents. So we pray for all of you who are grandparents, and pray for those who are grandkids. Pray for your grandparents as well. There was a football game in the jungle between the large animals like the elephants, rhinoceros, hippos, lions, versus the small elements. Not elements, animals. Meerkats, monkeys, hyenas, termites. And at the end of the first game, first half, the large animals were ahead 70-0. The second half, the centipede came in with the small animals, and at the end of the second half, the small animals had won 77-70. The animals then went to the centipede and said, "Why did it take you so long to join in the game?" So I was tying my shoes. Now, this is unreasonable, and that's exactly the point. So is the love of God for us unreasonable, and yet it's really there. This is year B of the 3-year cycle of readings we have for Sundays. And so the Gospels for this cycle are almost all from the Gospel according to Mark. But because his is the shortest Gospel, we have 5 weeks where we insert readings from the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, what we call the Bread of Life discourse. And it's important for us to understand, to help us understand the gift of the Holy Eucharist, because of which, or rather without which, the church would die, without which all of us would die of hunger and thirst. In the first reading and in the Gospel, we have two miracles through which God feeds his people. In the first reading, the prophet Elisha feeds 100 people with 20 loaves. And the loaves of bread, barley loaves, aren't what we think of as a loaf of bread. But they're much smaller things. And certainly that's not enough. Certainly you could basically break those into little pieces and everybody would have something. But that's not what happens. They all have enough and more than enough, and there's stuff left over. And then in the Gospel, we see the multiplication of the loaves. Jesus has this profound compassion for these people. He sees the people who are hungry. They're hungry to hear his word, and they're hungry for food, and he feeds them. Again, it's unreasonable. It's no way possible for 5 barley loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 men, to say nothing of the women and children. And it's important to realize that we cannot get into the demythologizing. There are some back in the late part of the 19th century and also in the 20th century that basically says this wasn't a miracle. There are those who say, well, when the people saw Jesus and his apostles sharing their food, they all shared their food. And so there was enough. But in fact, there's no indication of that at all in the text. It is a genuine miracle. And the fact that it is a miracle, we see when the people see this, that they've been fed by 5 loaves and 2 fish, there's more than enough left over. They've all had enough and more than enough. They want to make him king. If this was just their sharing their meals, it wouldn't have been anything. The people want to make Jesus their king. But that's not Jesus' plan, and so he withdraws to the mountain. And as much as this is a miracle, it's not the biggest miracle. We will see this as we continue to reflect on John's Gospel And he ties this to the Eucharist. And of course, the fact that he mentions that this is near the Passover also ties this into the Eucharist. If you're serving a meal, you can always put a little bit more water in the soup, but eventually it only goes so far. You can break bread into smaller and smaller pieces until there's almost nothing left and it's not going to feed anybody. But the greater mystery is having bread and wine become something that they were not. They become Jesus' body and blood, soul and divinity, without any visible change. This is what we celebrate every Sunday and every day. It's something we sometimes take for granted. Sometimes people will say, well, I can do without this, or it's not that important to go to Mass. There's other things that are important. People will think, well, God really won't mind if I miss Mass. But in fact, the Mass is what we ought to miss other things for. What is offered to us in the Eucharist is something that's amazing and remarkable. Jesus offers us himself under the form of bread and wine. And sometimes we may receive this sacrament without really understanding. We can receive casually something that is most sacred and solemn. We ought never be casual about receiving communion. This is something that's not ordinary. We cannot look up this at the Eucharist as something ordinary. We therefore need to prepare every time we come to communion, to be intentional, to know who it is we are receiving, to take the time to thank the Lord who offers himself to us, and to be in communication with him, to surrender our wills to his day after day, to spend time with him, that when we have received communion, to spend time in silent prayer, giving thanks for this great gift. We ought also to spend time before the Lord in the Eucharist in adoration, particularly in our adoration chapel. We are to know in the depths of our hearts and minds who it is who becomes present to us on this altar. He is nothing less than our God and our brother, who loves us, who loves each one of us with passionately, who offers us unreasonable love and compassion, that we may receive him as real food here in this world and as food that will last for eternal life.